And what I would like now is for all the dads to stand. If you are a dad, you have one child or you have 12 children, if you would stand at this time. And we want to let you know that our sermon today will be geared towards you, but really it's for all that are here. And as we have on the sign outside in the front, dads are not optional equipment. I believe it's very important that dads remain in the home. And more studies prove that homes without dads suffer. 75% of those who have massacred people at schools had no father in the home. Over 85% of those who have used guns and in such a thing at schools had dysfunctional homes. May I say this, dads are important. And I just want to have a word of prayer for the dads. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for each man that is a dad that's here today. Lord, give us strength to be good examples to those that are following behind. And Lord, what a precious thing it is to be a dad. And Lord, we thank you for our Heavenly Father who sent the greatest unspeakable gift of salvation through his Son, Jesus Christ. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen. Thank you, dads. You may be seated. Take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to the book of Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8, godly men lead to godly families. Godly families lead to godly churches. And godly churches will lead to a strong nation. And it is my opinion that the United States of America needs godly men and godly women. We need men and women to stand for the cause of Christ. And if you would, as we read now from the book of Matthew chapter 8, verse 28, you that are able, would you please stand and we'll begin reading. And think about these two men that are going to be healed. All too many today are enslaved and are in bondage. And I don't know that they were fathers, but they were definitely sons. And they had an issue. And Jesus Christ is the answer to the issue. Verse 28, and when he, Jesus, was come to the other side into the country of the Gadarenes, there met him two possessed with devils coming out of the tombs, exceeding fierce, so that no man might pass by that way. And behold, they cried out, saying, what have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come hither to torment us before the time? And there was a good way off from them and herd of many swine feeding. So the devils besought him, saying, if thou cast us out, suffer us to go away into the herd of swine. And he said unto them, go. And when they were come out, they went into the herd of swine, and behold, the whole herd of swine ran violently down a steep place into the sea and perished in the waters. And they that kept them fled and went their ways into the city and told everything and what was befallen of the possessed of the devils. And behold, the whole city came out to meet Jesus. And when they saw him, they besought him that he would depart out of their coasts. And he entered into a ship and passed over and came to his own city. Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for the reading of thy holy word. And Lord, for these that were healed, that Lord, as it says in another of the gospel stories, that they that were naked were found clothed. They were healed, Lord, because of you. And thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. It is our job as parents to raise men not males. It is our job as parents to raise adults, not dependents. I believe that we do a disservice if we do not raise up young people to be responsible adults. Paul, writing to the church at Ephesus, said, "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." That we have a responsibility to bring them up in the Lord. We are to leave a godly legacy. This morning I will be asking a number of questions. There will be no tests given on a paper. But as the questions are asked, we hope that you can answer them correctly. 7 points, the first point being, we need to establish the right priority in our homes. The right priority, the right procedure. Something to follow. In our bulletin, we have this thought: fathers, your children should be able to say, "I know that my dad loves the Lord." Your actions speak louder than words. I know my dad loves my mother. I know my dad loves me. How important it is that children feel comfortable with their dad. Question one, do we have a responsibility for the spiritual welfare of our children and their children? I believe we do have a responsibility. I believe it's a God-given responsibility. I believe it's one that we must share with our children and our children's children, that there is something beyond this life. Question two, am I making an effort to ensure that my children love the Lord? Now, they may not love the Lord, and they may not follow Him, but you are to make a constant effort to ensure that they do. Question three, have I showed them the most important possession in all of life? That being the salvation of their eternal souls. And how important it is that they know that there is a Savior. A pastor was asked, have we told them that they need to be saved? Have we told them that God loves them? Someone would say, how can a loving God allow all the wars and sicknesses and evil that is in this world today? Well, the fact of the matter is God is not responsible for those. Sin has created the situations that we find in our society. God, though, loved us, and Christ died for us. He provided a way of salvation. Because judgment comes at the end. All of us will stand before the Lord. Because hell awaits, but heaven beckons. Have you told of your child, your grandchildren, that there is a need, and that need can only be filled by Jesus Christ? Each and every one of us has a void in our life, and only Christ can fill that void. Point one, establish the right priority. Point two, depend on God. To depend means to rely on, to trust fully. The psalmist wrote in Psalm 127, "Except the Lord build the house, they, father and mother, labor in vain that build it. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward." We need the Lord's help in our homes. We need to depend upon Him. Financially, we may be sound, but how about spiritually? We need to depend upon God. Point one, we need to, point one is to establish the right priority. Point two, to depend on God. Point three, we need to set a right example. A right example. An example is a model or a pattern. My father-in-law was left-handed. So my wife plays pool left-handed. Well, why does she play pool left-handed? Because her dad taught her how to play pool, even though Don is right-handed. You know, to be an example, do you think that you as parents are examples? Absolutely. How many times have I told you this story that when Don and I got married, the first time we went to go grocery shopping, I was there in Arlington, Texas with my new bride, and I headed for the A&P. So why did I head to the A&P? Because my mother went to the A&P. And my wife said, "Where are you going?" I said, "To the A&P." She goes, "No, we're not. We're going to Kroger's." Why did she want to go to Kroger's? Well, her mother worked there, for one thing. But examples. Your examples without even trying. Examples. Set the right example. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways. Psalm 128, verse 1. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Proverbs 16, 25. And then the well-known Proverb 22, 6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. We find in the reading of these two men that were possessed with devils that they needed something. Can we blame their parents for the fact that they were possessed by devils? I don't know, but we know this, that they needed someone to set them straight. They needed a positive example. So point one is establishing the right priority. Point two, depend on God. Point three, set a right example. Point four, embrace biblical roles. Embrace biblical roles. Embrace means to clasp, grasp, incorporate. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed is undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Hebrews 13, 4. We need to teach our children to live responsibly. They need to be taught to pay their debts. You think that's important, to pay your debts? Thank you for those that agree. We need to pay our debts. You say, "Pastor Paul, what do you think about the United States of America owing trillions of dollars?" I'm ashamed. I'm ashamed. Don't you believe your government should be financially secure? I think so. Don't you think our government should be an example to all its people in paying their debts? Yes, I think we should. I think we should pay our debts, and I think we need to teach our children to pay their debts. I believe we need to teach them that consequences, that there are consequences to their actions. That there are consequences. And you can't blame the neighbor or the person you work with or your parents, but that there are consequences to bad actions and bad decisions. I think we need to teach our children to be thankful. It's all too easy to be selfish. And it's all too easy to be selfish in this society. Yesterday, I was not feeling well. I'll be honest with you, I spent most of the day at home. And, you know, sometimes you don't feel good, right? Some of you are just healthy all the time. I'm not jealous. But some of you are. But I was here at work for a while, and I just thought, you know, I'm not doing anybody any favor by being here. And I didn't want to fuss at my help. So I left. And there was a garage sale coming into my subdivision. Do you ever stop at garage sales? Some of you do. Some of you don't. As I went into the garage sale, this man had a bookend, just one, that was a piece of Swiss cheese. A wedge of Swiss cheese. Don't you love Swiss cheese? Now, I don't know where I learned to love Swiss cheese. I don't even know if my dad likes Swiss cheese. I don't know. But I love Swiss cheese. The nuttier, the better. Oh, I just like it. And so I'm reaching for this because I'm going to buy it. And a woman says, I'm buying that. You know what my first reaction was? To grab it and say that not that possession is 9/10 of the law. I felt like saying, well, you're over there and I'm over here and I got it in my hand. And I looked at her and she looked at me. And I was bigger than her. I may have been able to outrun her even. I don't know. But we don't have a piece of Swiss cheese bookend in our house. Because sometimes you have to say, okay, I won't be selfish. I'm not saying she was, okay. But the fact of the matter is, sometimes you have to put others first, don't you? Ooh, that's hard. Yeah. Okay. But we need to teach our children to be thankful. Not just at Thanksgiving, but all year long. Point one was establishing the right priority. Point two is depend on God. Point three is set a right example. Point four, embrace biblical roles. Point five, teach them diligently. Diligently means intent, hardworking, constant. We read in Ephesians 6:4, bring them up in the nurture of the Lord. We are to be diligent about it. If you would, take your Bibles and tune to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 7. Teach them diligently. Beginning at verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto your children. And shall talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt teach them diligently. Notice verse 12. Then beware lest thou forget the Lord. Let me ask you a question. Do you think there's anybody shopping at Kroger right now? How about Myers? How about Audi? Am I saying that right, Audi? Aldi? Aldi. I went there once. I had to use a quarter to get a basket. I didn't have a quarter. I went in and said, I don't have a quarter. They said, I'm sorry. I left. That's just me. I didn't have a quarter. Isn't that a terrible thing? Didn't have a quarter. Do you think anybody's at Lakeside Mall? You know, when Lakeside Mall was open, they didn't open up to 1 o'clock on Sundays. That's not the way it is now. You know, the fact of the matter is people have forgotten the Lord. People think that America is great because of Americans. America is great because of God. And gospel preaching churches. And as gospel preaching churches close down in America, our greatness is drifting away. We need to come back to the house of God. Too many people have forgotten our Lord. How many have gotten out of the race? Gotten out of the race. Brian the other day called and asked if he could take me to lunch. And so I went to lunch with him. Boy, I can't remember the name of the place. It's Mexican. You go in and you get a burrito.
Taco Bell?
No, not Taco Bell. No, that's where you take your dog. I mean, no, that's not. No. It starts with a C. Chipotle. Yeah, Chipotle. He says, what we're going to do, we're going to get a burrito, and we're going to go over to Meadowbrook Hall, and we're going to walk around in the gardens. My first thought was, I don't want to walk around eating a burrito. I am glad when we got to Meadowbrook Hall, there was a table that we could sit at and eat overlooking the gardens. It was very nice. And as we're talking and eating and sitting, because that's where we ate, he began to tell me of a race he was in. He does marathons, half marathons, 5K, 10K, half a marathon. And he said he was just in a mud race. You ever been in a mud race? Hey, and he said you run through the mud. And I'm thinking, why do you want to run through the mud? And then he said, you got to the top of a hill and you're sliding down the hill and they're spraying you with water. And I said, to wash off the mud? He goes, yeah. I said, why don't you run around the mud? Then you wouldn't have to be sprayed. Well, anyways. But he said that it was fun. He liked it. But Brian is one of these guys that if he's going to do something, he's going to do it all the way. I asked him, did you puke? Because he used to puke. He'd run track at high school, and just about the time he'd get near the end, he'd puke. They all used to tease him because he'd be running full tilt with his head turned so he could puke. But he was finishing the race. You know, how many Christians, they've stopped by the wayside? Folks, we can't be stopping by the wayside. There is a race to be run. The Bible tells us that. There's a race to be run, and we need to teach our children to run the race to the end. And we need to be the example that we are running the race till the end. Establish the right priority. Depend on God. Set a right example. Embrace biblical roles. Teach them diligently. Number 7, control the climate. Control the climate. One of the hardest things as a preacher is to control the temperature in the building so that some people like it. That's a joke, folks. Come on now. How many of you right now wish the heat was on? How many of you wish the air conditioning was on? How many are just fine right now? You can do. Oh, praise God, more than half of you like it the way it is. Yes. But how about the temperature in your home? The climate. You mean the mood, the spirit, the environment, the atmosphere. What is the attitude at your house? My wife and I used to live in a home where nearby was a woman they called the screamer. You could hear her screaming. She has since moved. I wonder if she has that same nickname where she's at now. Do you have to figure out who's just walked in the door, be it mother or dad? Do you have to figure out if you can be funny around them or if you have to hide? I've known dads like that. You didn't know what to do when they walked in the door. And so you let mother talk it out, they would say, and figure out which one had walked in the door. What is the attitude at your home? Is it constant negativity? Constant frustration, constant poor me. I remember hearing one person talk about their sister-in-law, and they said that constantly when the family got together. The one was constantly saying, oh, we don't have money for this, and we don't have money for that, and we don't have money for this, hoping that the parents would give. Oh, poor me. What's the climate like at your home? Are we protecting our children from evil influences? You know, just because something can be done doesn't mean you have to do it. Is church a desired activity or a painful obligation? You want me to say that again? Is church a desired activity or a painful obligation? What is the attitude in your home? Which leads us to point seven. How many points did I say I had? Seven. Can you name the first six? Establish a right priority. Depend on God. Set a right example. Embrace in biblical roles. Teach them diligently. Control the climate. Number seven, send them forth. Send them forth. The Apostle John, writing, says that he appreciated that his children walked in truth. That they walked in truth. Are we instilling in our children and grandchildren the need to serve God in their individual lives? It's a lifetime obligation. John 4:35 says, say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. Do you believe that we that know Christ as our Savior should be an example of the Lord? Yes. Examples. To our children, our grandchildren, our nieces, our nephews, to those around us. Our desire is that our children walk in truth. Is truth important? Truth is very important. You believe that truth is more important than money? Is it? Truth is more important than money. Do you believe that truth is more important than prestige? Yes. Let me ask you a question. I understand that the man that had purchased Lionel Trains had just passed away. Did you read that? He was on the front page of the Detroit News. I think it was the News. Could have been the Free Press. If my dad died tomorrow, do you think he'd be on the front page of the Detroit News? Am I sorry or jealous that this man was on the front page of the Detroit News? No, it's okay. I worked for Lionel Trains for about a month. Hardest work I ever did. But truth is important. And we need to teach our children about truth. And the truth is found in the Word of God. As parents, grandparents, truth is important. Shall we stand together? We're going to sing a song of invitation. 375, just as I am. Maybe you'd like to come this morning and pray for your children. Pray for your grandchildren. Maybe you have great, great grandchildren. Maybe you'd like to come and pray for them today. Maybe you'd like to come and pray for yourself as a man, saying, Lord, help me to be an example. Or as a woman, help me to be an example. Because someone's watching you. Someone's watching you. Are we being the example we should be? Are we teaching them the most important things of life? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this invitation time. We ask, Lord, that you would Help us in our daily walk. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.